Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In today's episode, I want to talk about interest rates and inflation and recession. We've just heard that the ECB, the European Central Bank, has followed up its July increase of 50 basis points with another 75 basis point increase. So the European area has gone from having 0% interest rates at the beginning of July to 1.25% now. So we've seen a rapid increase. And this is really a position of playing catch up because since the invasion of Ukraine started, we've seen multiple interest rate increases from a variety of central banks all around the world. And the ECB was really dragging its heels. It was slow in reacting and nobody could really understand why it was so slow. But since it started moving its rates, it's now moving at a rapid rate. So in today's video, we'll have a look at the ECB announcement. We'll look at which countries are affected by the European Central Bank, because it's not all of Europe. Not everybody is party to the European Union. And even all of the countries who are in the European Union don't sign up to being a member of the euro. They don't use the currency and they don't have their interest rates affected by the ECB. So we'll go through who's in and who's out and who's affected by this. We'll then have a look at what's been happening with interest rate movements from other countries, how the ECB movements compare to the US and Canada and Australia and a variety of other countries. We'll then have a look at what's going on with inflation right now globally, because as I'm sure you'll know by now if you follow the channel, there is a direct link between inflation and interest rates. The traditional way of handling high inflation, if you want to bring inflation down, you increase interest rates. That's the generally accepted theory everywhere in the world, apart from in Turkey, but that's a different story. So we'll have a look at what's going on with inflation. We'll then look at where we are on interest rates across the world, how they compare right now. We'll then talk about the implications of all of this, what the increase in interest rates means for the economy, for the European economy and the global economy, and whether or not this is now taking us a step closer to a global recession. And then finally today, I'll finish up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months, what the implications of that are for Europe and the global economy as a whole. So before we get started, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos so you can skip over things if you don't have time to watch everything. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. The European Central Bank has announced that it's increased its core lending rate by 75 basis points, which takes the overall rate to 1.25%. And this chart shows us the movement in interest rates, inflation, and quantitative easing for the European Central Bank over the last 20 years. So you can see from this chart that for the last 8 years, since 2014, the interest rate set by the European Central Bank has actually been zero. So it's been one of the best areas to borrow money anywhere in the world. Now, if you look at the correlation between the black line and the red line, which shows European zone inflation, you can see that back in 2004 through to 2010, there was a close correlation between inflation and interest rates. And between 2008 and 2010, there was a massive reduction in both inflation and interest rates. So the two were moving in tandem at that point. Between 2010 and 2014, inflation increased, but it was increasing at a manageable rate. It's generally accepted that 2% inflation is good for an economy. It gives an element of growth. You're able to increase your prices. You can increase wages. And it's seen as being healthy. You don't want an economy to stagnate. People want to be paid more. And if you're paying people more, then it's totally acceptable to increase prices at the same sort of rates. But as you can see, between 2012 and 2015, inflation started to reduce and actually came down to a negative level for a short period of time. So in order to get things moving, the European Central Bank started on a process of quantitative easing. And if you follow the channel, you'll be familiar with this concept. But quantitative easing is a way of the central bank pumping liquidity into the market. So it enables the institutions to have more liquidity, which means that they're encouraged to lend more to consumers. And those consumers who then borrow and take money from the institutions, spend that money in the economy, and it helps the economy to grow. So the dark blue section on this chart equates to the amount of quantitative easing undertaken by the European Central Bank between 2015 and 2022. And you can see that there has been a massive increase, particularly since 2020, after the end of the COVID-19 pandemic. There was a big stimulus from all of the central banks around the world to try to get the economies back up and running. Now, the other noticeable thing on this chart is what's happened with inflation. So you can see that up until the end of 2020, inflation was still down at a manageable level, and in fact, had dropped below zero again around that time. However, over the last 18 months, we have seen a significant rise in inflation, and it has been sharp and pronounced. And inflation is now running somewhere around 9% in the European area. And you can see that the differential between the red line and the black line has now got quite significant. And it's taken a long period of time for the ECB to do anything about interest rates. So if you look at the black line, you can see that it flatlined for around 7 years, and it's only recently that the ECB has started to increase rates. As I mentioned at the start of the video, the ECB does not control the interest rate in the whole of Europe. Not every country in Europe is party to the European Union. Famously, the United Kingdom left the European Union recently. We had the whole Brexit situation where the people of the UK decided to vote to leave. And then we had to work out how that actually would operate, what contracts would need to be broken. And for a long period of time, it was a bit of a nightmare, but it's all done and dusted now. And we're moving away from that. So the UK is not party to the European Union. It's not controlled by the European Central Bank. But I thought it'd be interesting to look at which countries are included in the European Union and which countries have agreed to sign up to be controlled by the European Central Bank. This is a map of Europe. It shows the countries who are included in the European Union and also the countries that are included under the ECB's control. So the countries that are not in blue on this map, so the ones that are either in cream or beige or whatever colour that they're showing on your device, have not signed up to be party to any of these contracts. So as I just mentioned, the UK is the most famous country that's no longer part of the EU. It was party for a long period of time, but recently left the European Union. But other countries that are not in the European Union include Norway, Russia, obviously, Switzerland and Turkey. Now, the countries that are shown in light blue here are part of the European Union from a trade perspective. So they're able to do trade with all of the other countries. Their citizens are able to move freely between all of the different countries, but they're not party to the ECB discussion. So their interest rates are not controlled by the European Central Bank, and they don't use the euro currency. They've got their own currency still. And the countries in this position are Sweden, Poland, Czech Republic, Hungary, Croatia, Romania, and Bulgaria. Now, the other countries in dark blue are part of the European Union and are also controlled by the European Central Bank. And they include Germany, France, Spain, Portugal, Belgium, the Netherlands, Ireland, Italy, Austria, Slovakia, Greece, Cyprus, and a couple of countries that are not showing on this map because they're a bit too small, Malta and Luxembourg. So I thought it was worth showing this graphic because it gives you more of an understanding as to which countries are in and which countries are out of the ECB control. And you can see that the lion's share of Europe has signed up to be party to the euro currency and is controlled by the European Central Bank. So this covers a large percentage of all of the people in Europe. One of the things that's interesting to look at right now is how reactive the central banks of different countries have been to what's going on in Ukraine. This chart shows the movement in interest rates since the 1st of January 2022. You can see that Canada has been the most reactive. It's increased its interest rates by 300 basis points, by 3%. And this has obviously been partly driven by the events that have happened following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Although inflation was already at a high level, everybody was hoping that in 2022 the rates would start coming back down to a more manageable level. However, what happened was that as the invasion started, the price of energy and food and commodities went sky high, and that fueled inflation further. So central banks had to step in and start making some quick decisions. And Canada have been the most reactive. They've increased their rates the most out of all of the countries in this chart. The USA, New Zealand and Australia have been the second most reactive. They've increased their rates by 225 basis points or 2.25%. The UK comes in next with a 150 basis point increase. The Eurozone and Norway are next on the list with 125 basis point movement. Sweden have increased their rates by 75 basis points, and Switzerland have increased by 50 basis points. Interestingly, Japan have not moved their rates at all. However, the situation in Japan is somewhat different to what's going on in Europe. Japan, for a long period of time, suffered from deflation. They actually had reducing prices. And so they've had the opposite problem to the rest of the world. They've actually been trying to stimulate their economy to get things moving. So it's no real surprise that Japan haven't moved their rates at all. And just to look at that data in a slightly different way, this shows what the actual rates of interest are in each of the countries we've just discussed. So you can see that Switzerland is at the bottom of this chart, and despite the fact that they've increased interest rates by 50 basis points relatively recently, they still have negative interest rates, so it's still sitting below zero. Japan is in a similar situation, so they haven't moved their rate, but it is still sitting at around zero. Sweden and the Eurozone have the next lowest interest rates, followed by the UK, Norway, Australia, the USA, New Zealand, and Canada currently have the highest rates of interest out of any of the countries on this table. Now, this table looks at the G20, which are the 20 largest economies in the world, and shows the current rate of interest in each. Now, Argentina is having significant problems right now. The economy is out of control. Inflation is sky high. And the current rate of interest is 69.5%. If you want to take a loan in Argentina, the base cost for the borrowing that the bank will have to pay is 69.5%. So obviously that is discouraging anybody from taking any loans right now. I think in most modern countries, if you're lending at rates above 20%, you're seen to be a loan shark. So 69.5% is completely off the scale. In Brazil, interest rates are currently 13.75%, and that's been introduced to try to calm inflation. Turkey is a very unusual situation. You'll be familiar if you follow the channel as to what's going on in Turkey. But Turkey have taken a completely contrarian approach to the rest of the world. Turkey has inflation currently above 80%, but it recently reduced its interest rate from 14% to 13%. So it's given up on the traditional theory of increasing rates to bring down inflation. It's gone for the opposite approach of reducing rates to try to bring down inflation. But what's happened over the last 9 months or so is that as the rates have been reduced, inflation has carried on growing exponentially. So it's gone from around 20% inflation to around 80% inflation at a time when rates came down from 19% to 13%. So I don't think that policy is working, but Turkey is sticking with it. So we'll carry on watching what happens there. I'll just pick out some selected countries here. The official rate of interest in Russia is currently 8%. Following the invasion, the Russian Central Bank increased interest rates to 20% as an emergency wartime measure. But since that point, it's been reducing rates, and interest rates are now below the level before the invasion started. It was at 9.5% prior to the war. It's now at 8%, which is obviously still very high. Now, if we jump down this chart to the euro area, because the ECB has recently increased rates to 1.25%. So you can see that the euro area is shown as 1.25%, and all of the countries who are in the euro ECB zone are also at 1.25%. So we've got France, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, Spain. Now, those rates, although it represents a big increase on where the Eurozone was, are still well below a lot of other countries on this table. So they're 50 basis points below the UK, 110 basis points below Australia, 125 basis points below the USA, and 200 basis points below Canada. So what that tells us is there is a lot of scope for future increases in the euro area. To be honest, there is a lot of scope for increase for the majority of countries on this table because inflation rates are still significantly higher than the target levels. So it's likely that we'll see continuing interest rate increases in Canada, the USA, Australia, the UK. Euro area will also follow that pattern, and it may be that the interest rate hikes start to get bigger in all of these areas. So whilst a lot of countries have been operating a 25 basis point increase policy, it may be that we see 50 or 75 or even 100 basis point increases going forward. Now, these are the current published inflation rates for the G20. So Turkey, we've just discussed, is at 80%, Argentina 71%, Russia is now at 15.1%. So inflation has been coming down in Russia, but it's still very high. So 15.1% is not where Russia wants its inflation to be. And it's surprising that they've reduced their interest rates so dramatically. The 20% rate was an emergency level. It was designed to try to stop inflation getting out of control. But it hasn't brought inflation back to a manageable level. So I would have expected the central bank to have left it at the high level until inflation was at least into single figures. But Russia have taken their foot off the pedal and they seem to be happy with inflation sitting at around 15%. Now, if you compare that to the generally accepted level of 2%, it's around 7 times higher. So it does seem quite unusual that Russia are happy with the current situation. As a direct comparison, inflation in the Netherlands is now up to 12%, and that's an increase month on month from what we saw in July of 10.3%. So prices are increasing at a really high level in the Netherlands. And this is one of the problems that you have when you sign into a collective policy agreement. The Netherlands is part of the ECB, the European Central Bank control, and therefore it can't increase its own interest rates. It has to rely upon the collective decisions. Now, if the Netherlands was a standalone country, I am very sure that the rate of interest would be far higher than 1.25%, because it's hard to bring inflation back down when it hits 12%. But unfortunately, they're having to do everything collectively, and therefore they're having to wait. And it's likely that we will see inflation continuing to grow in the Netherlands. And that position is exactly the same for Spain. Inflation is currently at 10.4%. It has come down slightly from 10.8%, so there are some encouraging signs. But 10.4 is still way too high. The UK is also above 10%, and expectations are that inflation could get up to as high as 18% by the end of 2022. There's just been a change of Prime Minister. Liz Truss has taken over from Boris Johnson. So it will be interesting to see whether or not we see a ramping up of those interest rate increases to try to bring down inflation. If we jump down to the euro area, you can see that on a collective basis, the average rate of inflation is now 9.1%, which is far higher than the euro area wants it to be. But clearly within that, different countries are experiencing different rates of price increases. We just talked about the Netherlands and Spain. And if we look down to the bottom of this table, you can see that France is coming in at one of the lower levels at 5.8%. And that's really one of the big challenges for the ECB is how do you manage interest rates collectively when you've got some countries that have got 6% inflation and other countries at 12% inflation. If we have a look at the USA, inflation is now at 8.5%, which does represent a reduction from 9.1% from the prior month, but is still higher than the target rate. And is at a similar level to what we're seeing right now in Italy and Germany. The last two countries I'll pick out here are Canada, where inflation is at 7.6%. That does represent a fall month on month, but is still higher than the target rate. And Australia, which is at 6.1%, but concerningly is actually showing an increase month on month. So what are the implications of all of this? Why do I keep going on about inflation and interest rates? Well, both of these metrics are really important when you look at the health of an economy. The reason that central banks try to get inflation coming in at around 2% is that that's steady, healthy growth. When inflation starts getting out of control, when it's above 5% or 10%, then you've got a real problem because prices are increasing ahead of wages. And that means that the cost of living is increasing for everybody. And that has a disproportionate impact on the poorer members of society because they generally don't have a lot of savings and they don't have a lot of free income at the end of each month. So if the price of food and transport, for example, goes up by 10 or 20%, generally, people then start having to make decisions as to what they're going to spend their money on. And those essentials, food and transport, because people have to eat and people have to go to work or go to school or whatever it might be, then you need to keep spending on those items. And that means that you cut back on everything else. So that makes life generally less pleasant because you can't spend on fun stuff, entertainment or going out or whatever it might be that you like to do. If you have to cut all of that out of your budget and you're only buying food and heating, then that makes for a pretty grim existence. And what's been going on over the last 6 months since Russia invaded Ukraine, what we've seen is a massive increase in energy prices. And energy is something that everybody has to pay for. We're all fully reliant upon electricity and heating. If you pay more for your energy costs, you don't feel that you've got extra value. It doesn't make you happier. It generally makes you more angry, more annoyed, and you feel like you're being ripped off. So inflation is really important to the health of an economy. And interest rates historically have been the tool that's been used to bring down inflation. If you increase interest rates, it increases the cost of borrowing, therefore people have less money, they can spend less, that reduces demand, and therefore prices should start coming back down. That's the theory. But the problem with increasing interest rates is that it costs people more money. So therefore, they have less disposable income. So if you've got a situation where you've got high levels of inflation, like we have right now, and you also increase interest rates, all that means is that people are still paying more for all of the things they have to purchase, but they've got less disposable income because their loans are costing them more money, or they can't afford to borrow because the cost of borrowing's gone up, and therefore they can't get a loan to buy a new car or whatever it might be. So what we've got right now is a really nightmare situation for a lot of consumers, that the prices are high and the cost of borrowing is also high. Now, the long-term plan is obviously that the increase in interest rates brings back down prices. But in the short term, it won't, because we will see prices staying high. And the other problem that everybody faces right now is that what's happening with prices is being driven by global macro events. So Russia's invasion of Ukraine has resulted in shortages of gas, as a lot of countries decided they didn't want to buy Russian gas, shortages of fuel, for the same reason, nobody wants to buy Russian fuel, shortages of food, because Ukraine was a big supplier of lots of different types of food to all of the globe, and commodities have also been in short supply. So all of those factors are being driven by global shortages. And that means that global prices have gone up. Increasing interest rates in individual countries won't fix that. If you start charging people more for their loans in the UK or France or Germany or Canada or the USA, that doesn't change the global position with regards to the supply of oil, because nobody wants to buy it from Russia. So what we could get is a situation where interest rates become really high, the cost of borrowing is really high, everybody's got less money, but prices still remain at a high level because OPEC and Russia and everybody else decides that they don't want to release more oil into the markets. So we're heading for a situation which is very bad news for consumers and bad news for economies. And what this is all pointing towards is a major recession coming at some point in the next 3 to 6 months. By the end of 2022, it's quite likely that a lot of countries in Europe will be officially in recession. And the official test is usually 2 consecutive quarters of falling GDP. Now, a lot of countries have already banked 1 quarter of falling GDP, so we're on the road already. So we may well see a large percentage of Europe going into recession before the end of this year. And of course, that will have a direct knock-on impact to the rest of the world, because Europe has some of the biggest economies in the world. It's a big buyer of lots of things from everybody else. So if those economies contract, if demand contracts, then that will have a knock-on impact to global demand. So it's likely that we will see that recession starting to spread all around the world as other economies become directly affected. And of course, those economies are already struggling because of the high levels of inflation caused by the Ukraine war. So you can start to see the interconnectivity of the whole globe. So what's happening in Europe right now will soon multiply all across the world. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because the ECB has been lagging behind the rest of the world. We expected to see quicker interest rate increases. They didn't come, but we're now seeing them happening, and they're happening in big movements. So the first one was at 50 basis points and the second one was 75 basis points. And it's likely going forward that the ECB will need to carry on increasing rates at large levels in an attempt to bring down inflation. But as I've just discussed, just because interest rates are going up, it doesn't automatically mean that inflation will come directly back down, because there are some global issues at play right now, which mean that prices are not directly related to demand in individual countries. So we could well find ourselves in a situation very soon where interest rates have gone up to a level where everybody's feeling the pain, but prices don't come down quick enough to be able to offset that. So what that would mean is that the cost of living will go up proportionately, and we will see a fall in the standard of living. So it's likely that for the rest of 2022 and into 2023, that prices will stay high, but we won't have more money to be able to offset that. But unfortunately, the central banks around the world really only have two mechanisms to be able to control inflation. They can increase interest rates and they can reduce quantitative easing. Now, most of the central banks have already stopped their quantitative easing, so that's already been done, that's banked. That's starting to feed through, but it's not having a dramatic impact because quantitative tightening, as it's called, the reversal of quantitative easing, takes time to take effect because all of that money is still out there. So it takes time to get it back in. So that's not going to be an overnight solution. The movement in interest rates does have a quicker impact, and we're starting to see that. But unfortunately, I don't think it's going to fix the global inflation problem. Whilst we've still got a war going on in Ukraine, it's likely that we'll continue to see high energy prices, and the price of energy feeds through into absolutely everything. So I think the overall summary from today is that interest rates are rising, they're rising faster than expected, and it's likely that that will continue for the next 12 to 18 months. And unfortunately, I think those movements in interest rates will accelerate the global recession. I think this is bringing the recession closer and quicker. And I think by the end of 2022, we will definitely see most of Europe in recession. And it could even be that we see most economies in the world hitting recession by the 31st of December 2022. So sorry once again to be the bearer of bad news, but hopefully you found today's video useful, informative and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.